Hello and welcome to Shield Bash. I am Britt, your GM. And somewhere else in Central Illinois is...
Will, the voice of Nath Vendekar.
How you doing, Will?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Well, since it's just the two of us, that can only mean one thing. It's the spotlight on Nath Vendekar. And just like... Well, okay, so it could mean two things, I guess. Just like most actual play podcasts, we are trying to comply with the governor of our state's wishes and be, what they call it, Will, self-quarantined?
Shelter in place, I believe, is the phrase.
Yeah, shelter in place, yeah. It doesn't affect me personally because I'm essential. But how about Will? What's going on?
I was actually let go for about 4-ish weeks.
Wow. Really?
During which the company I work for was doing some pretty heavy lifting on the website that I work on. So I was still working, but it was mostly so that the company would survive this more so than for my paycheck at that point. But luckily, with the federal funding that came through, our company is able to rehire about 40 of the 140 they laid off.
Right, there's a lot of drivers there, right?
Yeah, a lot of drivers.
Right? Like yours truly, but different vehicle. So
just longer.
Yeah. Different license and all that good stuff. But as far as office staff, how's that been going?
We had a week after the initial news hit that we would be seeing layoffs, we had about, I think, 4 people working in Peoria office-wise, and 3 people, full-time people that were working in the Champaign office.
Aha! And you obviously were affected, so hopefully life is still good.
Yeah, life is great. Honestly, not much has changed. I'm now working from home, which is kind of nice.
Okay, so you've been rehired, I guess?
Yeah, there was a, I believe it's a PPP loan is how they described it, that was put out for the by the government for small businesses that kind of provided a bunch of money to make sure that people who had jobs before could still have jobs now, even if the business wasn't necessarily making the money to have them on payroll.
Nice. Yeah, with this whole thing, it's just been a mess. But and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be done. Because reasons. But the other reason that we're here together tonight is we are going to try and pierce the very psyche of Nath Vendekar. Or at least, you know, play 20 questions.
Hey, I'm up for both.
All right. As most of our listeners know, we like to use the 100 most important questions to know about your character. That is by Beth Kinderman and Nikki Walker, revised edition. And so what we will do is we will roll the D100. Because nobody uses that anymore, really. And this is a great excuse to use it and get to know our characters. So, Will, are you ready?
I am. I would like to point out that this is a monumental moment, being that it is the first time that we're going to have real video content of our beautiful faces for any of this. And also, for those of you listening on YouTube, in the link... there's a link down in the comments of the YouTube video where you can actually go to this list if you want to see what we're using for this.
Thanks, Will. You already had the link, and I was asking you and asking you. You already knew. Hey, since we're doing video for the first time ever, should I show them?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fashion model or anything, right? Sneak peek. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm going to try and get this right, but from the front. Oh, you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try the back. You tell me when I'm good, bud.
Up a little bit. There you go.
Oh!
For those of you who aren't seeing this beautiful video version of this, Britt has just showed us a Shield Bash t-shirt, front and back.
And yeah, thanks to Mark, who plays our other favorite rogue. Sorry, Mark. It's the only way I can go. He's the fella that put this all together.
He is a great guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And he, I tell you what, I used to go to certain conventions, and they would go at the very beginning, "Hey, who has driven the furthest?" And hands down, Mark would win that contest every time. So when he meets with us, he's by far the guy that drives the furthest. You know, and I drive myself 45 minutes when we record. But Mark's the dude. He would win that one. Okay. So having said all of that, Will, you're the guy that handles the YouTube stuff?
That's me.
I'd like to call you the tech advisor in that arena. Have we had any comments or anything that we need to discuss right now?
Let me go double check. I think we're a little light on comments.
That's fine. We're still new.
I believe Jason did bring up one comment during an episode that we've actually already recorded that we addressed. Right. But I don't think that we have any more to address.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, bro. I mean, we were talking before we started recording and everything, but, you know, before we got started, you know, because once I get started...
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we get started, and then I'll look for this as we do that.
Ready, set, go. 92 is under self-images and etc., and it reads... What are your reasons for being an adventurer, parentheses, or doing the strange and heroic things that RPG characters do? Two-part question. Three-part question. Are your real reasons for doing this different than the ones that you tell people in public? And if so, detail both sides for the reasons. So, I'll start you off at the beginning again. So, why are you an adventurer?
So this whole question, I'll answer the latter half of it first.
I kind of already know, don't I?
Nath is a very truthful person, so he definitely is telling the truth to the people in his party, or public, so to speak, as they say in this the question there. But yep. His reason has been kind of explained. He didn't really want to go on an adventure, at least not yet. He was bound to at some point in his life, as his family's tradition is to, once you become of age and you are well enough trained, then you would go out into the world, learn, and then bring what you learned back to your parents and teach them what you've learned, what they couldn't have learned staying home and teaching others. And in that way, the mantle is kind of passed down.
Quick question. Is that according to... geography, or is that just the way his family... He's not Tien, right?
No, he's actually Vudrani, at least his entire family is. Okay, but so this is just a family thing. This actually isn't a cultural thing.
Okay, it's not cultural, it's totally family. Gotcha. Alright, carry on.
But, like I said, he would have done this later in life. He got into some trouble in his homeland, even though that's not necessarily where he was born, of Keonan. And because of the trouble that he got in, he was forced to leave much earlier in exile from Keonan for at least 5 years, is what he was told.
Banished?
Yes.
And you preface this question with, yeah, he's pretty honest. So the second part is kind of self-explanatory. If somebody asks, right?
Yeah, so he's not hiding the reason why he's traveling. He just doesn't like to talk about it for obvious reasons.
Right. And he's not real old, is he? He's rather young yet, right?
I believe that he... if I remember correctly, is, 28, 29, somewhere in there. Pretty young.
Okay. Somewhat young. Yeah. All right. So, are you ready for number two?
Yeah.
21.
Ooh, that's a small one. Very far away from the original.
21 on my chart reads, while growing up, how did you get along with the other members of your family?
So, Nath had very few issues with his family, and that is because he was an only child, really. So, it was him and his mother and father. He was a good kid. He would do what his father said, but that also comes from the fact that he's not in his homeland. So he was old enough to have seen his homeland, where his father grew up, so to speak. But when they moved, he was like 5. So he'd get scolded harshly. There were hard disciplines, and that was usually for things that would have gotten him in trouble, not only with his family, but also with local constabulary or whatever it would be, you know, the city guard. You're not supposed to leave the actual city of, I believe it's Gold. I've got to remember now. The only human settlement in Kiononen is kind of by itself, and you're not allowed to go anywhere else as a human. So he would push those boundaries and get in trouble for it often.
Right. So where he grew up is actually an elven land, am I correct?
Yeah, so he grew up in the elven lands, in the only city where humans are allowed to settle.
Right. So it's kind of like they have what's the word I'm looking for? Curfew. Curfew? Is that the right word?
It's not exactly a curfew. It's like military police, more like, is how I understand it. Like, you are allowed to exist and trade and live in this settlement, but you are not allowed to encroach upon the Elven lands, kind of thing.
Gotcha. So it's more like occupied.
Yeah.
And you're the minority kind of deal.
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, do you think we thoroughly answered that question?
Yes, the city is Green Gold. Is the city name that I could not
Ringle. Remember. There we go. So, number 3. Here goes. 53. Reads like so. In general, how do you treat others? Politely? Rudely? By keeping them at a distance? Does your treatment of them change depending on how well you know them? And if so, how?
So, Nath is very forthright and he gives respect before he knows a person. Everybody deserves some kind of respect. As we've kind of seen in some of the episodes, he would give a chance to a person that he thought would hurt him to not hurt him, given some kind of conversation, trying to convince them. So he's going to be honest and open and forthright and give the same respect to Tam, who he knows very well now, he feels, or at least a surface-level acquaintance.
Sure,
to
story.
A complete stranger.
Okay.
There might be a little bit more that would open up in, like, a physical relationship or with family, but that would probably be as far as you would have to go to have some kind of change.
All right. Not bad. Not bad. Benefit of the doubt, more or less.
Yeah, he doesn't hide his feelings, so a stranger's going to get the same answers, asking questions, so to speak, as Tam or any of the people in his party would.
Alright, sounds good. Question 4, 88, and that is as follows. Are you generally introvert or extrovert?
Me? Introvert. Oh.
Nath.
Nath is, he's hard to peg, really, for that, because he, when I think of an extrovert, I think of someone who might go up and start a conversation with someone else just to have a conversation, and he wouldn't do that.
No.
But as we've kind of talked about, he is open to talking to people about things that really concern him, about kind of things that some people would keep to themselves. So I'd say he lands firmly in the middle of that. He doesn't.
I kind of disagree with you there. I think he's kind of a stereotypical monk, and I think he's more introverted, self-reflecting, I could be wrong, but it's your character, sir.
Well, I hear what you're saying on the self-reflecting, and that is a big part of what he was taught. He definitely does do that. He tries to regularly every day, but I guess my William's definition of introvert and extrovert are different than maybe the standard definitions. I'm thinking, like, is he outgoing, I guess, which is a different thing.
Certainly, but that is certainly part of being an extrovert, I believe. Introvert, they tend to be bashful, shy, blah, blah, blah. But there's another component to that. I'm not going to get into it here. But, yeah, I think he leans more to the other direction myself. But, like I said, I could
definitely see that. Again, mostly with the self-reflection. He is kind of quiet as a character. I could see that. So, yeah, maybe more on the introvert side than extrovert.
All right. I didn't mean to try and sway you. I'm just saying.
Well, no, and I hear it. I don't think he's fully introvert. We'll say that. I think he's got some extrovert traits
in
that openness and willingness to discuss his inner feelings when asked.
I agree with,
or prompted.
I definitely agree with you there, but I don't think he's going to come out and say, no, screw you, this is the way it should be. You know, I think he's more, let's explore this a minute, you know, kind of guy.
Yeah. The most part, yeah, he's not going to say, no, we're not doing that. He's going to say, wait a minute, why don't we look at it like this? And okay. Try to get other people swayed as opposed to, yeah, enforcing his will, so to speak.
Right. Which, you know, an extrovert in the wrong situation can definitely do that, yeah. So, again, I think we found common ground there. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Question 5. 80.
Going back to the bottom.
That is, just so we know, under the likes and dislikes section, question 80 reads, what would you do if you had insomnia and had to find something to do to amuse yourself?
Oh, so I actually remember this question very, very, it really poked out in my mind because I had to sit here and think about it with Nath. He's such a... Like, he doesn't need things, so...
Would he play with his snakes?
So, he, when he was answering these questions, had never been in the situation like he is now. And
right.
Even his journey out to the island has already changed him quite a bit, and his everyday ritual, because he would have never done that at home. He would have never interacted with animals, really. Because he couldn't go into the forest. The only animals he might have seen are the ones that are living in the city.
So that was part of the, shall we call it, martial law? Part of the, not quarantine, that's a dirty word these days.
Gotta be careful with that one.
But yeah, the elves said, no humans in the forest, is what you're saying, right?
I like to think of it like...
humans can't be trusted in the forest.
I feel like it's more of a almost like a tribal thing, in my opinion, when I was reading about it. It kind of seemed like, almost like, wow, I can't believe I'm about to say that. Okay, never mind. So, my thought was, this just went past my mind for a second. My thought was, they're a little like a, almost like a fascist or communist kind of thing, where they don't want to have other cultures in their area, is kind of what it seemed like.
Yeah.
Like, they want a purity of culture, a purity of people there. And by allowing humans into their forests freely, that would upset that.
Sure, because there's the right way, the wrong way, and the elven way.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, so now...
So, back then, his go-to, if he had to do something and there was, like, nobody out on the streets, would have been meditate or read. And that's generally how he would pass any amount of time that he didn't see as recreational time. But now, yes, it would be studying, learning, so that when he went back to his father, he would have something to show for it, because that is still a point of pride for him.
Okay. Let me rephrase that question a little bit. Because, you know, adventuring parties, they will perpetually, hey, we need to rest, let's post a watch. What would math do to not fall asleep and be vigilant?
That's a tougher one. He's very focused in his duties, so to speak, and that's something that he got, like we were talking about, from his father's kind of disciplinarian attitude towards math, and he would be very focused on the job, and if he was trying not to fall asleep, it would probably be, you know, going over Iori's, not rules, I'm gonna call it rules, his, like, here's what you should do to better yourself, and he would go over those in his mind, and look at the stars occasionally to get his get the eye weariness from looking at the same things over and over again off of him.
Okay. So self-reflection?
Yeah, in a way. Not really self-reflection, but reflection on those ideals and how he could better fulfill them.
All right. Fair enough. My own personal answer for most of my characters, some of them have a deck of playing cards, so they could do solitaire. Some of them have actual sets of jacks, so they could do their onesies and twosies and threesies. Some of them, you know, especially, you know, when they're by themselves. Sorry, wait. This is about Nap, not me.
Well, funny thing about a very sandy island, it's hard to play jacks on a sandy island.
It is. It is. You gotta find a flat rock somewhere. All right, number six. 77. 77 falls under likes and dislikes, and it would be, oh yeah, I remember when, yeah, we did this for the spotlight on Tam.
Interesting.
I remember Jason's answer. How do you spend a typical Saturday night?
Okay, so this one really, I'm gonna use his life in Kyonan as a support for this, because Saturday Certainly. Nights here on the island are quite boring,
yeah,
as they are in every day. But in Kyonan, Saturday nights, if he was doing something, he was getting into recreational activities, he would probably go. He got to know the merchants at the docks in Green Gold very well
really?
On his free time. His mother ran a shop, so he would be down there and hauling things back to her shop.
What kind of shop did Mama run?
So she was an importer. Green Gold is, again, a civilization that's kind of cut off from everywhere else because it's a single port city and they can't go inland any. So everything is brought in through the port. And she would import Vudrani spices and things like that for the people who wanted to taste a home.
She's and a spice merchant.
Not just spices, you know, cultural stuff that you wouldn't be able to get in Green Gold that wouldn't probably be made there just because they don't have the space or workforce.
So she had the Vudrani bodega.
Yeah, kinda.
Okay, fair enough.
And Nath hauled the boxes for that a lot, so he would talk to the sailors, and he actually would go out, and another way that he would get in trouble, because although he is honest, he is also kind of a rebel, he would go and borrow boats, small boats, like not even like rowboats sometimes like small sailboats, and he would go out on the lake there and go look at the stars and see the nature that he really couldn't see other than at the very edges of Green Gold.
Huh. Okay. Was that just for isolation purposes, or is he a stargazer, or insert whatever other question you want to right here?
So he really did look for a way to get away from Green Gold, because he did like nature, but he wasn't allowed to go inland much, so the only nature that he really had access to was the lake. The sea, I think, is actually, it's an inland sea, if I remember correctly, but yeah, he would use that to his advantage, because he could go there, he just didn't have the means, per se.
Alright. So, any way you can do it, you're gonna find a way.
Yeah.
Like it.
Nath finds a way.
Nature finds a way, Nath finds a way.
Where there's a will, there's a Nath that finds a way.
I see what you did there. Question 7! 35! I don't think we did 35. No, this is the first question in this category, I believe. Past influences.
Interesting.
35 reads. When was the last time you were most frightened?
So if we're talking about after being on the island,
Well, I mean, chronologically, that would make sense, I guess. If you were scared on the island at all, maybe the Chupacabra?
Nath doesn't see... He has yet to see a combat where he really feels like he's in mortal danger. Like, there's almost no chance he's going to survive. Because he trusts his teammates to, if he can't stay on his feet, to help him survive the circumstance. So he's less scared of combat. But the idea of maybe being banned from Kyonan for the rest of his life really scared him because of his reasoning for leaving. He got banished because he was kind of in a budding relationship with this elven girl. And
young her, love.
Yeah, it was a young love situation. And she was the daughter of a important elven figure to Gringold, and obviously, for the reasons that we discussed already about that area of elven culture, he didn't like that. So his response was, well, you can leave, or you can stay in prison.
Yeah, there's, even in Pathfinder, there is that stigma that from the elven perspective that humans are subpar. Am I correct?
I don't know too much about in Pathfinder with the world at large, but from reading everything about Kyonan, that's pretty much what they think there. The people that, the elves that live in the forests there do not want them there because they are lesser.
Right, and they don't know how to manage things, so definitely don't let them in the forest, you know.
Well, and how could you possibly get anything accomplished with less than 100 years to live?
Right. Somehow we manage. All right. Question 8. 15. 15 reads... Oh, wait. Let's put that under the category here. It's growing up.
Interesting.
And 15 reads, how would you describe your childhood in general?
Okay.
Single child?
Yeah, single child. It was very routine. Very structured. He would, once a week, he would go down to the docks like we talked about, pick up stuff for the shop, haul it back to the shop.
Right.
Once a day.
Childhood being different in different ages, at what age was Nath expected to help out with the family shop?
So that actually gets into a little bit of Vedrani culture. I'll hold that till the end. There's some stuff I can go into with that. But yeah, routine, structured. He would, once a day, he would go to his dad's monastery kind of situation. And
Wait. Sorry, we haven't addressed this yet, but dad was also a monk?
So, let me say this.
This question's just a wormhole, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to go all over the place. So, we were not actually originally from Vedrani itself. We were from the island off the coast of Vedrani, I want to say. It's basically where a ton of different monk orders gather. And there's the houses, one of which is the House of Perfection, which is the one that a lot of people know about. And that's actually where we came from. And that's why our family kind of culture and gain knowledge and then come back, that's where that came from. Because they were always trying to better themselves, that hierarchy on that island.
Okay.
But once he came to Kyonan, he did so to, one, get away from that kind of hostile nature of the island itself and come somewhere where he could see something new. So that's why he opened a monastery here to spread the following of Iori and the perfection of the body and the mind. So, yeah, Nath spent a lot of his days there helping with that, and at home helping with the shop. My father had some money to get me a formal education, and so he would go to school when he was younger. But yeah, a lot of his life was actually spent observing his parents more so than anything else, and them interacting with their customers.
Nice. So dad basically transplanted or immigrated because of evangelical reasons, more or less? He wanted to spread the word?
That was part of it. He didn't like he didn't like his father's views on things and how competitive that island is. So he decided to go somewhere where they probably didn't have much of this kind of thing and introduce it to a new group of people.
So, yeah, sort of a missionary.
Yeah,
I dig it.
Exchange now, of culture.
Right. Now, we got way off on a tangent.
But yeah, we're still on a tangent.
Yeah, we're still there. So, Nath wound up with some education because of dad and, you know, a bit of money, apparently. But he was also expected to, at some point, work with mom in the shop.
Yeah,
did mom mom and dad have a good relationship? Was that all good?
Oh, yeah. They definitely did.
She, glad to hear it.
She provided a kind of a storefront at the home, and he was able to do kind of what was expected of him by his family and for his own honor kind of thing. And they both made money and, you know, assisted each other with both parts of that. It just worked really well. But Nath would start helping around as a hauler of things and help around the shop and selling and all that when he had his Vudrani coming of age ceremony. It's very much like the kind of Indian culture has.
Oh, and certainly. Different challenges, right?
Yeah. I can't remember what the age is. I want to say it's like 16 or 17. Okay. And then at that point, he would kind of like become a full-fledged member of the family and be expected to work with his parents and provide a living for everyone there.
Okay. So he basically got most of high school, comparison, right?
Yeah. I mean, his formal education probably didn't stretch into what we know as high school. It was probably more like, probably cut off at like...
You can read?
Yeah, you can read adequately, and, you know, if somebody asks you to add, you probably can, kind of thing. Like, by formal education, I mean common sense. Like,
all right.
And then the rest of what he's learned, like the economics, the appraising that he understands, and some of his other skills, they come from working around the shop as a working education.
All right. You know what? Common sense isn't too common. I like it. Now, we are on question 9. Nearly halfway there. Ready, set?
Oh, yeah.
50.
Right in the middle.
50 is under benefits... beliefs and opinions. Do you have any biases or prejudices? Are you racist?
So Nath, again, he's kind of an honorable guy, and he gives respect to everybody before he meets them. Everybody gets a chance. He doesn't have any biases or prejudices to speak of. He will form opinions, but he generally does not expect all people of one culture, race, or something like that, you know, any identifying factor, to always act the same. And he actually sees it as a strength in dealing with people as well.
All right. Let me ask you this, though. With Nath having lived under occupation from the elves, does he have any ill will, at least towards elves? Or is it just, this is the way it is?
So, he doesn't feel ill will towards elves as a whole. He thinks that they don't understand or are unwilling to learn about other people. And he actually feels almost, I don't want to say sad, but he feels like they're missing out on all of the great things that humans bring to the table. Yes, they may not live for several centuries and they're maybe not as wise, but their jokes are better. they can be more lighthearted and open, and they don't have as much time, so they share freely, and he sees that as a great boon, and he doesn't think the elves possess that, or at least most of them don't.
Somehow or another, the $6 million man, maybe you're too young for that, but the preview for the show, we can build him quicker, better, stronger, faster. You know, that's what humans are all about compared to elves, right? I mean, they have to.
Sean Connery would say that you got to take your time and aim.
Halfway there, brother. 79. What, if anything, shocks or offends Nath Vindicar?
So, I would say the one thing that would probably shock and offend Nath would be if somebody was like bloodthirsty or was killing people or intelligent creatures just for the thrill of it. You know, if you're going to do it to eat, to survive, if you're going to do it to defend yourself, or even for a purpose that, or a belief, he understands that, but just killing to kill is shocking.
So, pure evil killing, not a fan.
Yeah, not that he would come out right out and say, you can't do that, necessarily, but it would shock him that anybody could be so cold. Because right. He hasn't experienced that in his life.
It sounds to me like, under the circumstances he's currently in, here on Smuggler Shiv, with these cannibals, hey, I get it. They need to eat. If you're gonna kill, right?
Yeah, even that, he sees the reasoning in the cannibals' mind. Hey, this is the most prevalent food source that we have here on the island, really. That's easy to catch and produces enough meat to feed an entire civilization there on the island. There isn't, other than the magical crab meat, any other way that you could probably feed yourself consistently over the course of years and years.
See, I was thinking snakes, but, you know, hey.
And maybe they don't eat the crab meat for a reason. Maybe that's why they don't eat the crab meat.
It could be. Could be. Maybe they're just not cool enough. They don't have snake butter to eat the crab meat properly. That's probably it.
I've got to think that's probably the reason. Wait, where's Neil when you need him?
Right? 98 is under a category called self-images, etc. And it's a pretty simple one. It says, what three words describe your personality? It's a short question, but it's kind of complicated, right?
Yeah, I think Tam, I think, got this one, if I remember correctly, too.
Uh-huh.
So, let me see. I thought... No, that's a different one. So, three words that describe Nath's personality. That's a tough question, to be honest. I would go with humble. Nath is not one to brag. He does get excited when he achieves something, but it's quickly forgotten for him. Like, he's not going to rest on his laurels.
I'd say stable, maybe?
Yeah, probably stable. Very much so emotionally. Like, he doesn't necessarily show what he's thinking outwardly on his face, but he kind of keeps his cool for the most part. And I would say, what's the word I want to use for this?
Is it stoic?
No, he's not. I wouldn't see him as stoic, because when I think of stoic, I think of the Stoics, which are people who don't show emotion and they try not to have those emotions. Mm. And that's not him. He has those emotions. He just tries not to project them outward. And
we'll see. I
more
think
especially
that,
if they would cause problems.
I think that is what true stoicism is, honestly.
And you may be right. I didn't look very far into it. The very few Stoics that I know are not... I don't have a lot of conversations with them on a regular basis.
Because you're such an extrovert, that yes.
No, that's not. It's mostly because of the introvert thing. But I would put him in the intelligent isn't the right word. He is ever learning. He feels like he's never going to not be a student. He knows he's not wise. And
there is wisdom in that.
Yeah, and of course, that's the idea behind the whole monk thing. Like, he is wise in a way because he knows things about his world that other people would not. But he knows that the world is large and that he is not he's not seen even a minutia of the scope of the world. So he always feels like he's going to be a student.
That's pretty wise, if you ask me. I like it. 12. 30.
Studious was the word that I was thinking of.
Studious. Yes, that definitely fits. Question 30 falls under past influences. Did we already do that? I don't think so. Who has had the most influence on Nath Vendekar?
Oh, that's tough.
I thought it might be.
I would probably say his father, and that just comes from their family tradition, mostly. He was the disciplinary. He told him right from wrong. I mean, he laid out the ideals that Nath now follows of Iori to him, explained them to him and what they mean. He gave him his, almost like his purpose. He spent a lot of time with his mother, and she taught him a lot, but not the things that define his life as it is now.
Okay, so kind of a traditional father. This is wrong, this is right. Spiritual leader. Anything else?
That's mostly it. He was obviously more than just a spiritual leader and someone who taught him right from wrong, but in things that define what Nath's life is going to be for the future, these are the things that will really change the course of his life. If he had somebody different as a father, he would be somebody entirely different.
Excellent. I like that answer. That was question 30. We're on 13. 32! 32 is under the same category. Past influences. What is Nath Vindicar's biggest regret so far?
Oh boy.
Because we know future is an open book.
Yeah, no, he's bound to have a lot of regrets going forward. So, his biggest regret so far... That's a hard question, because he doesn't regret that anything that he did in Keonan. He would have done the exact same thing again, even knowing the outcome, even knowing that he would be leaving his family for 5 years. His biggest regret right now is probably going to Sargava, because he got to choose where he was supposed to be going, and he chose somewhere that he felt would be a great, like, this is Nath's, like, one boast. Like, I'm gonna go somewhere where none of my forefathers would have went.
Ah! A little bit of pride, and then little did he know, this boat I'm on, it's gonna crash.
He didn't account for that possibility when he was setting out on this adventure. In his mind at that time, he's young, he's indestructible, nothing could have went wrong. He was going to go there, he was going to get stuff done in 5 years, and then he was going to come back.
5 years? 5-year plan?
Yeah. Oops. It's the classic 5-year plan. It kicked off the first year really rough.
It happens! What are you going to do?
Hopefully make it to Sargava.
We'll see.
I have hope that Nath will at least make it to the mainland with his 20-something AC.
I think he's in pretty good shape for that. I'm just saying. That was... Oh my, we're getting somewhere. This will be the 14th question. This is the first time I've actually tracked how many questions we're doing it in this deep dive into Nath. But just so our listeners know, this one is question 89. So we're moving on up the list with this D100. This one follows under self-images and etc. And the question is pretty simple. Are you generally organized or messy? Inquiring minds.
Nath is generally messy. You can actually see it. Like, Nath's, his hair is very unkempt. It's not dirty, per se, but he doesn't, even before this, you can tell he didn't, like go get a regular haircut. it's just all over the place, and he doesn't really care. He doesn't mind that it's messy, and that every day he gets up, and it's in a different direction.
So, if he had red hair, he'd be Carrot Top kind of deal, or what?
He would make Carrot Top look pretty normal.
I'm sorry, I don't remember. What color did you paint his hair on the fig?
It is black.
It is black.
Right. And I couldn't get the effect of the hair that I really wanted, which was basically like a lion's mane. Like, okay. It legitimately just from front to back comes out in all directions. It's almost like an afro, except his hair is not in any way curly. It's all straight. So it's just kind of like...
See, I'm sorry, that just...
I didn't describe it well enough at the beginning, apparently, because I didn't get that reaction when I first described Nath.
No, that, it just reminds me of a, you know, how some beers you have, they like, okay, this is going to make me sound silly, but I remember one time I was drinking a Mickey's, and you look under the cap, and it goes, okay, which would you rather have, a six-foot afro or, you know, whatever it was? And the obvious answer is a six-foot afro. I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? That's not kind of what you're describing to me.
Yeah, he's in the six-foot afro bucket right there. He's in. Mostly because it's less work.
Amen.
I mean, obviously we're on a desert island, so this is probably going to happen with most of the characters anyway, but Nath is going to have a huge beard by now.
Oh, yeah.
Just like 3 weeks in.
Oh, yeah. So when are you going to paint that on the fig?
I was thinking about getting, because I've seen some more good 3D files for monks, but none of them even get close.
None of them get close to... That's where I lost you. Technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen.
So none of them ever get close to Nath's like style, and most of them are bald, like
right,
or have giant beads around their neck, and that's just not Nath. He's not about that life.
No bling.
Yeah, no.
Save it for later. We'll just, you know, we got scissors, I think. You can maybe just paint on some low goatee action, maybe, I don't know. Question number 15 is three. Three is under the basics. I think this is the first question in this category. Who were or are your parents? Do you know their names and occupations and personalities? Well, we kind of covered some of that.
Yeah, my father, he's a martial arts instructor. My mother was a kind of, like you said, a bodega runner, almost.
Right.
Spice merchant, if you want, selling all kinds of Vudrani imports. My father's name was Nir, and my mother's name was Suvi.
Nir and Suvi. Did I get that right?
Yeah. And we kind of went over some of their personality. Suvi was very outgoing. If somebody needed to get me out of trouble, it was usually going to be her that did it, because she was good at talking to people.
Outgoing, personable. Well, and that comes with the territory. If you are going to be a merchant or store owner of any sort, you've got to be able to sell.
Yeah. Got to have that charisma.
A little bit. Just going off record here, out of 1 to 20, what do you think Suvi's charisma score is?
I would go with like a solid 16.
16! Not bad. Not bad at all. Alright. Going downhill here, guys. 16 is 26. That sounds like fresh territory. Let's find out. Growing up again, when and with whom was your first kiss?
So, this would be that
elven maid?
Well, no, actually.
Oh!
After Nath's coming of age ceremony, many of the students from the monastery joined in the night of celebration. And after a few too many drinks...
Cheers.
A Tien girl from the monastery planted a drunken kiss on Nath on the way out of the tavern, and she did not look him in the eye for like a week and a half.
Are you making this up on the spot, or did you have that written down?
No, that's 100% in this big ass document that I sent you at the beginning of the campaign.
I don't remember reading that particular message, but I like it. Good job.
I like to go deep with my characters.
Apparently, 78. Did we do that one yet?
You'd be the one to ask.
Yeah, I've been tracking it. No, we did 79.
I remember that one.
This, I think, would fall under, just looking at the question, likes and dislikes. What makes Nath laugh?
That... I mean, Nath has a sense of humor, but...
I mean, is he a fan of slapstick? or is he a bit more intellectual? Stooges, Seinfeld, Gary Shandling.
I would say his would fall more into the, not like puns, but like low-hanging fruit kind of humor. He is educated to a point, but not super educated, so if you step too far into the realm of, like, book knowledge, it's gonna go right over his head.
Shoot lower, Sheriff! They're riding Shetlands! Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, that, a little on the lowbrow side, huh? But not totally? I mean, he's got some intelligence, right?
So, Nath wouldn't be... He wouldn't be the one to go for, like, vulgar humor, either. He's a very middle ground kind of guy in humor, in the sense that, you know, a good pun that is told at the right time with the right intonation is going to get him, but, you know, he's not going to, he said ass, ha ha ha, kind of guy.
Right. So, let me ask you this, would he be, like, AFV kind of stuff, or, you know, visual? America's Funniest Home Videos, you remember that?
I think some of that he would be into. Sure. Physical shtick would probably get him pretty good.
This is what I'm asking, yes. Okay, I like it. My goodness, we are all ready to question number 18. Here goes.
The time is flying by.
80! I feel like we already did that. When we did, that was question number 5. So let's re-roll.
Roll something different.
That's the whole goal. No, we did that one too. 70. I don't think we did 70 yet.
We did 78 and 79, but I don't think we've done 70.
Exactly, sir. I'm a page behind here. Question 70 falls under likes and dislikes. It's the very first question under likes and dislikes. What are your favorite hobbies and pastimes?
So, he actually was somewhat... of a sailor, like we discussed.
Did he put any points in sailor profession?
I think he did. I think he's only got 1 point in it. Because he hasn't, while he did it kind of recreationally by himself, he had no formal training.
Sure.
And that makes he sense. Hasn't done it since he left Keonan. So, in a way, yes, he could probably get a boat moving in the correct direction, but not efficiently. He also likes, although he's not a very organized person, he does like trying new things, and he knows what he likes in terms of food. He likes new spices and flavors, like cookies food. They're on the Genevieve.
Yeah.
Although it may not have been great, it was new.
It was definitely new.
Yeah. And like you said, like you were talking about physical shtick, kind of like knee slap kind of stuff. He does like watching theater and reading, so.
Alright. So, a couple of layers towards some depth here on Nath. 19. 75. This falls right under the same kind of line of thinking. What is your idea of a good entertainment, like music, movie, art, etc.? Kind of already covered some of that. Want to add anything to it?
So, he really does like live music, like bands. He doesn't particularly like imbibe a lot, but he will occasionally imbibe if he feels like he's had a particularly set of events. He might and kind of raise his spirits just a little bit further to bring himself kind of his mental state further than it was, so to speak. But it's a very occasional thing.
So, we could say that if the spirit moves him, he would grab some spirits?
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good way of phrasing it. But in reference to Eris Movato, who is
totally
our...
Different. Yeah.
Yeah, he sees that as weakness, and he would never let himself get to that. He would feel awful if he had some dependence upon pretty much anything other than bare necessities.
Right. And that makes sense. I mean, indulgence to an extreme like that, not really Nath's bag.
Yeah, along with decadence, you know, in general.
Yeah, decadence, that's a good word for it. Absolutely. Nice. All right. This is it, unless you want to go long.
We'll find out in a minute, huh? Questions.
Oh, yeah, right. 58. Oh, this is it. This is the one where we find out.
I'm afraid, Britt.
Be very afraid. Get ready to talk. This is under relationships with others. Have you ever been in love? If so, describe what happened.
So, all right. This is kind of the question for Nath. This is his big backstory piece here.
It's the crux!
Nath does believe that he has been in love, and he believes that he still is. The girl that kind of got him in trouble, so to speak, in Kyonan is a girl named Las, and that's L-A-S, not Las as in the meme for everybody who's listening. They grew close because she was kind of doing the cultural exchange between the elves and our family that my dad actually came here for. He came to Kyonan for this, to teach elves about this, because he felt like they would benefit. And they kind of began spending more time together, to the ends of, you know, same thing with the other students, you know. But they would go and spend time, just those two, watching theater, and they would take sailboats out on Lake Ancarthan. And they would get into all sorts of kind of like trouble together as well. But yeah, that's who he feels he is and has been in love with.
Wait a minute. So you say Nath got her in trouble? Was he a bad boy?
Not yes and no. Nath liked, like I said before, he really likes nature. And it may have been partly because he doesn't get a lot of it in the city. But he wouldn't only just try to take out the sailboats, but he would also try to get into the forest, which was a big no-no. And that's eventually what got him banished. Because he went too far into the forest, and they found him, and they said, that's it, that's the last time. You
out! Gotcha. But no, he thinks that was love of his life so far, right?
Yeah.
Lost?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's the one that gave him that pendant that he has with him always.
Your benevolent GM. Yes. You want to tell everybody what that is, or you want to leave it a secret?
Well, it won't probably come up in the game very soon, because Nath doesn't actually know that it's magical. And even if another person was to see it as magical, they would probably just think, oh, he's got a magical necklace and he knows what it does, but he doesn't. So that necklace, because of our benevolent GM, is a necklace of natural armor +2.
You want to do one more, or you want to question me?
Let's do one more and then I'll question you.
Something some people keep track of on their character sheet is Nath right-handed or left-handed?
Nath is right-handed, 100%. He's probably never thought about it, but he is actually fairly good with both hands in terms of fighting, so.
Well, and you kind of gotta be when you're a monk, right?
Yeah, and that's part of the practice, is to, you know your body well enough that if you didn't have your right arm, you could still defend yourself.
Absolutely. One more. What is your earliest memory?
Oh, this one I'm going to have to look up.
I finally got you.
Earliest memory, huh? Okay. So, and this will reveal the location that I was talking about as well. His earliest memory is playing in the warm ocean waters of Jalmare, waiting for the boat to take us to the inner sea on our journey to Kyonan.
So, Nath originates outside the Inner Sea.
Technically, yes. He's from Jalmare, and that's where he was born.
Interesting. I have no idea where that is. I'll fess up.
You should. I can't go into great detail with this, because I wrote this quite a long time ago at this point. But Jalmare was a very contested island in several wars. And eventually, I believe Bujani ended up, kind of the nation of Bujani, ended up in ultimate control of it. And that is an island that is specifically dedicated now to martial arts. And there were several houses there, and then one main house, the House of Perfection.
So, if you're going to go into the martial arts, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's very competitive, and there are a lot of kind of masters of their art there.
Interesting. Man, learn something new every day!
You all got right. You in the inner sea, or you'll fall behind.
Yeah. So, what do you got for me?
So, you may know, I may have said it once or twice, I am more of a D&D guy.
Yes.
Me, personally, I really like the Pathfinder system, and I've actually already introduced it to my D&D group, and that was all thanks to, actually, Farmageddon, a little shout-out, and John Brazier, I believe is how you say his name, who writes really great kind of short campaigns, and I want a book there, which is what I'm running my party through. So I've got to ask.
Are you saying you're kind of a convert at this point?
No. And that's actually part of this question.
Okay.
I really like the ability to personalize my character. As you could tell from the backstory that I wrote and how much I had on paper, I like to know my character. And not only that, but I like them to mechanically be different than anything that anybody has created before. Even if it's not optimized. I'm not one of those guys.
Right.
If it makes sense,
I'm happy. We know certain players that are, though, don't we?
You can't talk about him when he's just upstairs.
Anyway, carry on.
So my question for you is, what do you really love about Pathfinder that you either haven't found in other D&D editions or other tabletop games?
Okay. I'll try and give you a short answer, but let me show you something first. Since I'm down in my dungeon right now, be right back. I'm back. Hey, Will, have you ever seen this?
I have one of those upstairs.
So that's a big yes?
I take that back. I don't have that upstairs. I have that picture upstairs. I thought you were holding up the beginner's box. You have the book.
Here's the box. Yeah, in this box came two books. Two!
Okay, so it is what I've got upstairs. Yeah, I've got the beginner's box. I actually bought that when I was 14. Never actually broke it open and got to fully play D&D until I was 25.
Well, I'll tell you this. Okay, back in the beginnings, I had that book, and I think it came with the Keep on the Borderland, or a module of one sort or another. It was either Keep on the Borderland or Isle of Dread. I can't remember. But, you know, we were young and dumb. We didn't know what the heck we were doing. But we also had the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons hardback book that went with it. And we had no idea really how it all went together. But we were having fun. And that's the important thing. So, the short answer to this question is, which I, if I remember right, was, is what do you like best about Pathfinder?
About Pathfinder that you more specifically can't find or don't find as well done in other.
Okay. For me, that answer, you know, is without having looked at D&D 4.0 or 5.0 or, you know, even omitting 3.5 and, you know, 3.0, combat. We had no idea what the hell we were doing with combat when I was a kid. There were really no rules. It was just, okay, roll that die. It's a D20. Okay, I got an 18. And Thaco was just, what? Thaco? What? If you wanted to try and hit armor class 0, which was 2-hit armor class, that's what that was. You had to look at a chart. And you had to, so much easier. So much better. It's more detailed with Pathfinder than any other system, in my opinion, on what exactly you can do during your turn. And sometimes that gets a little tedious, but at least you know.
Yeah, I fully agree. Fully agree with that assessment. That is actually another thing that I really like about Pathfinder. And although I don't have any plans to convert my games over to Pathfinder, so to speak, my regular ones that I DM for, I am stealing from them, actively.
With or without their knowledge? That's what I want to know.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they can know if they want, because they have things in Pathfinder that, although it And I haven't got the balance worked out for it in D&D 5e, which is usually what I play. But yeah, I'm stealing wholeheartedly from Pathfinder with the things that I like, like being able to have that attack of opportunity if somebody stands up. Like, that just makes sense, you know?
Yeah. You didn't have things like that in here, or even here. This is the second book, expert set. And then there came the champion set, I believe. Yeah, something like that. That was book two. And then the master set. Ooh, black cover. Did not have any of that, really. But now we do. And we probably had it in 3.5, but Pathfinder's just better.
For everybody that I've spoken to, yeah, Pathfinder's just like 3.5 plus. Like, it's more precise to its point.
Exactly.
You have one more, and you'll have to help me out if, because I have not actually heard Meta's episode yet. That's right, people. In case it's not already out, we've already recorded Meta's episode. We're just waiting to release it to you.
The deep dive into Meta. Yes, so, spotlight on.
We have a very unique set of people at our table. And it was that way before Mark got there. And now I'm going to pull Mark into the spotlight for a minute. And I actually met Mark at FlatCon, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, it wasn't FlatCon. I met him at Farmageddon, and he DM'd a game for me. And he is a amazing DM. To be at his table was wonderful. So I have to ask, how do you deal, because there is a lot of personality at that table, how do you deal with DMing for all of these guys? Like, when I started to DM for my friends in Pathfinder, like, I know I'm not doing a lot of stuff perfectly right, and I don't have anybody else at the table to reference. I almost enjoy having somebody like Jason at the table that knows the system a little better than me, so that if I have a question, I'm not just making a call.
Me too! And you're right. They're, you know, we do have very knowledgeable people at our table with the Pathfinder rules system. I'm not the best top-notch guy for that. I'd say Neil and Jason are. Definitely Mark is up there. Definitely Mark is up there. Who else we got? Oh, yeah. Who plays Meta? Yeah, Pete. He's way up there, too.
That's okay. He doesn't know who he plays either, so...
I think Kurt even knows more about the rule system than I do, honestly. But here's the thing. Your question is, I guess, how far do you let him go before you reel him back in? Is that the question?
My question wasn't actually about their knowledge of the rules, even. It was more, like, I've known the friends that I DM for... most of them at least since I was in fifth grade. So
Okay. The
ones that I haven't known that long is Lexi, who's my girlfriend, and Brandy, who is
shout out to Lexi. Girlfriend.
So, you know, there's a very few and far between, you know, these are my very, very close friends. How do you deal with, and I know you've known these guys for quite some time, but they are big personalities. They are
different people.
How do you deal with that kind of diverse group? I've never had that.
I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Right after you answered, finished answering the question. I got sidetracked. Tangent. I think it helps that I think I have a pretty big sized personality myself. Sometimes that comes through. Sometimes it probably doesn't. But you're right. We do have some big personalities at the table. Mark, you know, like you said, he's got a personality for every one of his characters already in his head. The one we are fortunate enough to have, I don't think we've shared this before, but he's been playing that particular character, Artemis, in different systems for years, decades, a long, long time. So he's got that guy figured out, and doing this episode with him, walking the park, you know? He doesn't even have to write it all down. He already knows. But anyway, back to your question. Tangent again. They're big, big personalities. Everybody at the table. And I just try and let them shine until we need to move the story along a little bit more. And it's a judgment call on my part, really, on how far do you let them go. But, yeah, really, the answer is, I guess, is try and not try to outshine them, but let them roll, let the story progress, have fun. That's really my answer. You know, there's a meme going around in the D&D community about what kind of GM are you? Well, in our group chat, I think you may have seen it. What kind of GM are you? Well, I think everybody agreed I was the rule of cool guy. Yeah, there was the rules lawyer. There was, you know, there's several different categories. You know, if I think it's cool, probably going to make a way for it to happen. Is that too long of an answer? Probably was. Sorry.
Not too long at all. Yeah, I think that really covered it, and it did go back to that. You just got to know when to reel them back in, I guess.
Sometimes, I mean, you know, and here I thought at this point, I meant to mention this earlier, but I thought I'd feel naked without a microphone and headphones like you got. I really didn't, you know. So hopefully this records well. Hopefully the quality is close to where we were at with our regular podcast before the self-imposed, what are they calling it again? Because I'm essential, I can't remember.
Shelter in place.
Shelter in place, yes. Yeah, because I don't know what that is, because I'm always out doing the same things I've always been doing, except for this, which I'm doing over the internet now. I thought I'd feel naked, but I don't. Is that weird?
Speaking of that quality, just so we're covering our bases here, if anybody is trying to figure out why their ears are being shredded by this recording, we apologize. We didn't really plan for this, and we kind of threw this together over the course of a week to kind of get some extra content in there.
We intended to do it in person, but we want to be in compliance, right?
We're trying to be within the rules, yeah, right. Of the state, at least. Also, with what you said about Artie, see, I didn't know that about Mark's character, about Artemis, yeah. and how he's been in every system with that character, and that makes me want to know more about his character even more, so I am super looking forward to his episode now.
Coming soon! Artemis and Trary. We'll leave you on the hook until then. I don't know if he's next or not, but hey, could be.
I don't think we even know until, like, a week before if we're going to be doing one of these.
Exactly. And then, you know, there are other ideas floating around. We were talking about doing just character vignettes, you know, like I sometimes do in the episodes where I tell you what's going on behind the scenes. Sometime, at some point, we're going to put together some stories about the character backstories. So that way you can kind of see a little bit deeper, even more so than just sitting around asking questions about characters. Play it out like a play, hopefully.
I've been thinking about that vignette for Nath, and I haven't written anything out yet, but I'm excited for it. I don't even really know what subject I want to broach with that, like what situation to play out.
Right? And, you know, maybe listeners want to hear something like that. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Let us know.
Get into the YouTube comments and let us know if you want to know more about the past of these characters. And if you do, what kind of stuff, even if we covered it here or didn't cover it here, let us know what you want to know. And that way we can pick the right things for you.
Sounds like a plan. Is that about a wrap, you think, brother?
Yeah, Britt, you want to take us out?
Yeah, I don't do a great job with that, but, you know, hey, if you like what you've heard here and now and in the past and hopefully in the future, hey, like us, you know, give us a good rating, tell your friends, hey, you got to listen to these goofballs because they're funny, they're entertaining, and, well, you know, up until now we couldn't say it, but they look good.
Don't forget that last one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for listening. Hope to see you again soon. Peace.
Shield Bash is made in association with the Knights of the Octagon and Farmageddon Gaming Convention. Find us online at Farmageddon137.com, on Facebook at Shield Bash, on Twitter at Bash Shield, and on YouTube at Shield Bash. Music by Lee Rosevere. Serpent Skull and Pathfinder are the property of Paizo Publishing Incorporated. Leave a comment on iTunes for a chance to hear us read it out on the podcast. Questions and comments can be sent to shieldbashpodcast@gmail.com.